Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the family reunion. I have a question for you, okay? Who was another short man in the Bible? We know Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but who was another short man in the Bible? Anybody?
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, that's right, because he was Nehemiah. Thank you. So Nehemiah was the other short man. All right. Have to start off with a little laughter, right? Because we are family, and that's what family is about. I would encourage you to come on Wednesdays, because that's a small taste of what has been happening on Wednesdays. It's a good time. So I would encourage you to come on Wednesday night. Also tonight at I'm going to get this wrong. 6:00. We're going to continue walking through the book of Acts. So if you are around and can come, please join us at 6:00 tonight as we walk through the book of Acts. Also, there, if you are one of the gentlemen that is in the rotation for communion and you want to know ahead of time when you are up for serving, in the hallway heading to Jan's office is a list of the month and when you're serving. So if you want to jump ahead of that, that's in the hallway. Also, we are still looking for 10x10 awnings, the little tents you put over picnic tables and all. We need 2 more for the fall kickoff, which is actually, if I'm right, 2 weeks away. I tried to count it this morning. My math is bad. September 20th. So if you have one of those tents that you can put over picnic tables and things and be under, if you have one or know how we can get one, if you would see myself or Jonathan, we would really appreciate that. Also, the ladies are going to meet September 10th at 7 p.m., there's not going to be any snacks. It's sad for Jonathan and I because we get the leftovers. So there's no snacks, unfortunately. But you guys will be meeting on September 10th at 7 to talk about the Trine meal in October. Before I leave, Jonathan has a quick something to say, and then we'll get started.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to thank everyone for the support that you gave last weekend. It means so much to Sydney and I. We have loved being here, interacting with you, and serving you, especially serving the kids here at Columbia. We're starting to see a little bit of growth now with school starting, which is super exciting for us, especially because we have some really exciting things planned for this fall. And we just are very excited for the next year we can spend with you. Will you pray with me before we start? God, thank you for bringing us here today. And Lord, just please put your spirit down here with us as we worship you and serve you today. Speak through everyone that's speaking, and Lord, just please impact our community. In your name, amen. Right, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Some visitors this morning. Great to have you here.
Above all nature.
frog down in there that don't want to leave. It's a bullfrog. Just ask my wife.
Thank you.
stretch your legs. Morning, that you are with us, that you came and lived the perfect life and set the perfect example, that we may know how to live like you, that we may know how to follow your ways. And you went to a cruel cross and bore all our sins. Lord, you chased us down in our sins. You loved us even though we were sinners. We praise you for that. We praise you for your grace and your mercy and your precious blood that saves us. We ask, Lord, that you bless this morning, that you bless the service and the message that Jeremy's going to give, that we can use it to win others to Christ. We ask, Lord, that you give us wisdom and knowledge that we can conduct our lives in a worthy manner, Lord, that when other people look at us, they see you, Lord. Forgive us when we fall short. We often do, Lord. And bless this church and bless the many people that couldn't be with us this morning, Lord. We pray that maybe they get to see it online, that they still will be fed, Lord. We thank you so much for this church house and this country, and most of all for your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
for any visitors that we have right now, this is our time of communion. And I'm here to give communion comments. Hopefully that will get you in a mood to take communion or something to think about while you're taking communion. And I guess what I want to do this morning is just kind of share a moment with you, an event, if you will. Thursday, had a memorial service for my uncle. He was the youngest member of Dad's family, a lot younger than Dad, 13 years. He was the last one left of that generation. So I kind of want to lay out a little. I want you to understand how I viewed this man, how I came to view him, and just kind of share that with you. When I was very young, of course, he was probably in his early 20s when my grandfather died. So, you know, I think that kind of went against him a little bit. You kind of need your father around at that age, I think, still. He didn't have that. He married, had children. The marriage didn't last real long. They got a divorce. And in 1963, he remarried at the age of probably, I think, 28, and married a lady who had been divorced. She had children. I always viewed my uncle as someone who, he was kind of ornery. He really was. Not malicious, not a bad person, very friendly, liked to talk, and he told jokes. Always had a joke. Not early on, anyway. My memory says probably couldn't have told those jokes in church. Weren't like knee-high Maya. Had a salesman's personality. Could tell a story. Felt like, he can embellish the truth. Let's face it, he could do that. And in fact, he did in his life. He was a real estate agent, among many other things. He was very adventurous. Wasn't the kind of person who planted their feet somewhere and stayed there. He moved around a lot. From the time I was in high school, after I graduated, he had moved out west, kind of lost track of him for a while, didn't see much of him. And so, you know, my feelings about who this man was are based on very young experiences, conversations that I had had with him, conversations I had heard him had with others. Never much of a religious tone there. If you would have asked me, I would have said, well, not really sure where he's at with his relationship with God. If he has one, is it questionable? Don't know. A few years ago, probably it's been 22 years ago now, Mom passed away. He had moved back by then, and I got to know him a little bit better. And there were things that came out of his mouth that said, I think maybe this man has changed a little bit. You know, he would speak things about the church, about God. And so I'm starting to wonder, did I really know him? Are my ideas of who this man is really even right? And earlier this year, he had called, talked to my brother, wanted to get the family together. He was always good at doing that. For some reason, they would respond to him. And he wanted to do that in July. Well, he passed away early July, so he never got to do that. And so had a memorial service for him Thursday. We were at a cemetery, beautiful cemetery, beautiful day. And, you know, I'm carrying all these ideas. Who was my uncle? And By then I'm to the point where I really don't know for sure. But the minister was there, and he had known him for quite some time. You know, I've been to funerals where the minister always tries to put on the best face for the person being buried. Let me just do that. I'm sure Jeremy, I'm sure, does that. But you can usually tell that they don't really know the individual. This minister knew him. And what he told me during the service, what he told everyone is, this man knows God. And he relayed some incidents where my uncle had called him up. He'd been reading the Bible, Book of Revelations. One example he gave, said he'd come across something in there, and he called me, talked to me, and he said, we talked for about 4 hours. And I thought, now this is not the man that I have had an idea of who he was all these years. Maybe I was wrong about him all these years. Maybe he was searching for God all those years and somewhere along the line found him. But as I stood there, beautiful day, beautiful tombstone, there was a peace that came over me that said, my uncle's okay. And that's pretty much what the preacher said. Don't worry about him. He's okay. It's okay to let him go. Don't have to worry. And while I stood there and thought about how peaceful I felt, I also felt, you know, how lucky we are to have a God that really knows us, that doesn't have to rely on conversations that someone else had, stories that you've heard, and honestly, maybe even a past that wasn't right. Things that we had done wrong. God knows who we are now. And he forgives. And he can do it way, way better than we can. And so, you know, during communion time just now, think about that, how fortunate we are that God knows our heart and how he's able to forgive completely. And how lucky we are to have had a Savior that makes that forgiveness possible.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie, for reminding us who is in control. Let us never take that for granted. After I get done with the prayer request, there will be a song that will be played. So, Jeremy, I wanted to make sure I told you that before I forget it. This old age isn't as all cracked up to be. First one is we have one from Diane Keller, Judy DeLong, daughter-in-law's mom. Update, she knows the end will come soon, looking forward to being with God, at peace with going. Pray for comfort. Then we have one from Annette Towers, Josh DeSouza, brother. Update, he had the blockage removed. Things seem to be going okay so far. Thank you for the prayers and probably keep them up. And then from Rosie and Sam, Marvin Butch and Denise Stroop, our friends of theirs. Denise's mother passed away. And then COVID-19 had all three of them have it. Butch is in the Fort Wayne Hospital 4 days now, and she says he's not doing real well either. So definitely want to keep them in prayer. And then we also want to keep Sharon in prayer, because we know that she has been moved out of the hospital, but she still needs our prayer for recovery. And at this time, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our church family, for the love, the prayers, and the support. Let us never take for granted, dear Lord, that you shed so much love upon each and every one of us. And you care for these ones we talked about on this prayer list this morning. You know each and every one of them and their families, dear Lord. You know whether it's sickness or death or what it is to come, dear Lord. You are in control of all things. And we just need to stay in your word daily, dear Lord. That's what carries us through this time of difficulty sometimes in our country, and you are in control of all things. And I just pray that you be with our church family here. We love them and love the prayers and support of each and every one, and we want to reach out to the community with that love that you shine upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Keep it shining till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, I'll keep it shining till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Keep it shining till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
How many of you knew that song? It started out very slow there, I heard, but you all knew it, right? That's a very popular song. I'm sure the little ones back there are going. They, before bedtime, we sing that with the twins sometimes, and the spitting is crazy when we won't let Satan blow it out. It's crazy, the spitting that goes on there, but it's a good thing. That plays into what we are going to talk about today. We're going to, as you know, we've been walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to walk into chapter 4 and walk through for today. And we're just going back and we're looking at the gospel. We're getting refreshed with the gospel. And so we're looking at what it means as Jesus being a servant. And today we're going to look at what it means to serve. Can I get a volunteer? I know that's always a scary thing when somebody stands up here and says, can I get a volunteer? I promise you're not going to get hurt, even though I told Tim I was going to sacrifice somebody. But nobody's going to get hurt. Can I get one volunteer? I have somebody back there. Oh, Annette's going to come up here. Thank you, Annette. You, yeah. What is this?
Apple.
It's an apple, right? Will you cut this apple into just four chunks, please? Well, hey, it was nice it was downstairs. Well, I'm going to try to make it easy. Will you pick as many as you can of the apple seeds and put them in there, please? Might have to cut it again. They're all hot. Ooh, this is a special apple. That's a seedless apple. Behind the pulpit.
They're in there. But they're in there.
All right. The next question is, how many apples did we have here? Apples. We had one, right? How many seeds did you get?
Only three.
You only got
three.
There's more in there, but we got three. Now, how many apples?
A whole boatload if it takes root.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the thing is here, we have... Anybody can count an apple. Anybody can count these apple seeds, right? But only God can count how many apples are actually in this bowl. As Annette said, there's a whole boatload if they take root. We're going to play on that today. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and glory for who you are. Thank you that we can come and that we can read your word, that we can walk through it, and that we can draw closer to you, Lord. Help us to... Open our ears and hear, Lord. And then let us take root in your word and then walk in your word and use it. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Annette, for being willing to come up here. We're going to review real quick. We've asked the question, how do you see Jesus? That's what we looked at last time. And we looked at the accusations that led to the statement that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven. That's a very popular statement. That's a statement that you hear a lot, and it throws fear into people. So we question, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Because I love Jesus, but I don't want to never commit that ultimate sin of not being forgiven. And we looked at that. And we looked at how the word blaspheming in the original means they keep on saying. So the Pharisees, when Jesus said this to them, they kept seeing. They would see what Jesus did, the miracles that he did. He just healed a guy's weathered hand in that chapter. He cast out a demon in that chapter. And instead of doing what the people did, what the individual who was relieved, their hand was fixed, their sight was restored, they no longer had this demon, all of these people praised God. But the Pharisees over and over and over again, you're a sinner, you're full of the devil, you this, you that. They never would glorify God. So they kept on saying how evil Jesus was. And so we look at it and we ask the question, and we used Penny as the example of when we look at Penny and the miracle that little girl is. Do we look and see what God is doing and praise God in that? Or do we look at what's happening and say, look what man has done? Look at the miraculous medicines that we've created. Look at these machines that we have made that this little girl can now blink, that she can sort of breathe on her own, that she can make noises. When this whole crazy train started, she was good as dead. Or do we glorify God in it? And we looked at that and we talked about that last time. And we're going to look again here, and we have some key points that Mark wants to teach us. The first key point is the gospel, euangelion. The gospel, the good news. Believe the gospel. And the gospel here, the good news is that the king has come. There's victory that has been won. Believe it. We've looked at the word immediately. Immediately he saw the heavens being torn apart in chapter 1. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately he picked up his bed and went out before them in chapter 2. Immediately they held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Mark wants us to see these immediate big events. Boom, boom. He's going to cram as much as he can in this gospel so that we see Jesus and we see what Jesus is doing and how Jesus is serving. Today we're going to get two more key points of Mark's, and that's going to be parable and listen. So we're going to look at parable and we're going to listen. And we're going to talk about briefly, we're not going to hit them all, but we're going to talk briefly in this chapter four specific parables. There's going to be four parables that he hits. Now, before we get in them, we have to take the warning that all parables are not allegorical, meaning you can't look at this apple and say that this apple means something, that this knife means something, that the cutting board means something, that a net standing up here cutting meant something. You can't look at each piece of that and say that it's allegorical. Not all parables work that way. Parables were actually used to invoke thought and invite commitment. If you look in the Gospels, Jesus, he would come out at the very beginning of his ministry and he would be preaching and he'd be teaching and doing these miracles and people would be boom, boom, boom. And then the Pharisees came. You're full of the devil. You're evil. What did he do? He stepped back and he started speaking in parables. If you really want to know, you'll stick around. You see, parables are a spiritual test to separate those who want to understand and believe from those who don't. So we're going to look at parables. The most famous parable is what? I wasn't counting that one, but yes. What's the other one? Mustard seed. The sower, right? The sower. So we're going to look at the parable of the sower. We're going to look at the light under a basket. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That song comes from the book of Mark. We're going to look at the parable of the seed grower and the parable of the mustard seed. We're not going to hit them all, but they all work around the same thought, and that is to listen. Listen, if you look at verse 3, and I don't know what yours looks like in chapter 4, but my verse 3 says, listen with an exclamation mark. That's not just listen, but that's listen. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Listen. There's that oomph behind listen. Listen. Verse 9, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what I'm about to tell you. Hear what I'm saying. Listen. Listen intently. Come close and listen to what I'm telling you. You see, this verse 9 mirrors Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, and 29, and then again in chapter 3, 6, 13, and 22 verses, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Listen. Hear. Verse 23 of Mark here in chapter 4, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear or listen. And then 24, again, we're going to get emphatic about this. He says, pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Are we careful with what we hear? Do we stop and do we really listen? You see, in the book of Acts, there was a group called the Bereans. And the Bereans would go and they would sit at Paul's feet and they would listen. They would pay attention to what Paul had to say. And then what did they do? They went back and they looked it up. They researched it. They talked among themselves. And if they found error, they would come and they would say, hold on. And Paul said, you, Bereans, above all, should be praised because you are listening. You're paying attention. You're not just, oh, that was good. I like that point. Yep. Oh, yes. We should go with that. But they paid attention. You see, how many of God's truths do we speak and do we hear that aren't actually in the Bible? See, all of these things that I'm going to share here, they're bits and pieces of Scripture, but they're not in the Scripture. We've either said them or we've had them told to us. And the thing is, we believe them. We walk in them as though God himself said them, as we could look in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, we'd see this, but it's not there. Some of though, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. God will not give us more than we can handle. If you actually read the book of Peter, it says God's going to give you a lot more than you can handle because He wants you to turn to Him. But God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Be in the world, but not of the world. Love the sinner, hate the sin. God helps those who help themselves. All of these things we speak as gospel. We share them as though they are God's truth, but they're not. Are we paying attention? Are we listening? There's this video I have, and it speaks about the Bible. And the introduction to this video says, if God could speak, what would He say? Would He speak in a voice like I'm speaking now? What would He tell us? You see, God did speak, but are we listening? Are we paying attention? Because, see, this book here is full of what God is speaking. Not what He said, but what He is saying. Because this book is live and active. It may be old. It may have been written a long time ago, but it's far, far from being quiet. We can go back and we can look and we can listen and we can read over and over again. But are we listening? Are we paying attention? Because in this chapter, He says it four times in four different ways. Listen, pay attention. If you have ears, then hear. So we're going to look at that today, and we're going to look at the parable of the sower. Verse 1, again, He began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about Him, so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And He was teaching them many things in parables. And in His teaching, He said to them, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it was withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Notice in that one parable, He said it twice. Listen, and if you have ears, then hear. You see, this is a very, very well-known parable. This one is an actual allegorical parable. What do you hear? Because if you're listening to this parable, the point of it is, what are you listening to? Because you see, we have one action that's being done. There's a guy, he's going and he's throwing seed. You see, Jesus is using the old way of doing things. If you've seen the movie, I done forgot it. It's one of Polly's favorites. It's the Nativity. That's what it's called, the Nativity. You'll see the girls, they'll have their skirts up like this and their seed and they're throwing. They're just walking and throwing. Some have a satchel and they got the seed and they're just walking and they're just throwing. So what Jesus is saying is that's the way they did things back then. They would just walk down a path and they would just throw it out there. So we have one action that's being done. There's seed that's being thrown out there. We have four types of soil. We have the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. And then we have four kind of reactions. We have birds coming to take the seed. We have sun that's scorching the seed. And we have seed is being choked out. And we have seed that's growing and producing harvest. You see, it all circles around in listening. What are you listening to? Let's look at these. This man sowing the seed, he's throwing it out there. He's doing what Peter and Andrew were doing back in chapter 1. What were they doing? They were fishing, but not just fishing. They were casting their nets. You see, this sower, he's throwing the seed out. He's throwing the word out as my voice. I'm throwing the word out not because my voice is being picked up on the microphone. I'm speaking loud. It's going out. This man is throwing the word out. Can I have the first one? You see, we have the path. The path here, what happens when it lands on the path? This bird eats it. But what does that mean? That means that that bird is Satan. Notice he said that immediately. Immediately. You see, the word goes out and Satan's right there and immediately he just takes it. You don't need that. And you're like, what was that? Nothing. The bird is Satan. As the word goes out, Satan immediately takes it. Then we have the rocky ground. And notice the rocky ground, what happens? The seed, it lands. It sort of grows. If you go out here, and my directions are horrible, but if you go out here in the parking lot near Jonathan's garage, there's all that rocky. And if you look, there are weeds that grow there. They don't last long, but there are weeds that grow there. That's what's happening here. And what is this happens? As it grows up, the sun scorches it. You see, the sun scorching it is persecution. As Jesus is saying that this is the persecution he's talking about, this group is praying and they're about to be eaten by lions. That might not happen, but persecution is going to happen. What happens when you become that Christian, when you hear that word, you take and you're like, oh yes, I can't wait to tell my friends about Jesus because look what Jesus has done. 2 weeks later, your friends are having a get-together. Should we call Jeremy? No, Jeremy's become one of those religious fanatics. We don't want him. He's going to ruin the fun. No. You're one of those fanatics. You know, this job, the next step in this job requires somebody that's going to be hard at it. They're going to hit and they're going to grind. We don't have time to let you off to go to church. No, sorry. You're good at what you do. Let's just stay there. Persecution's going to happen. It doesn't always happen this way, but persecution comes. And as it comes, the seed dies off. I need that promotion. I need to feed my family, so I've got to move to that promotion. I have no friends anymore. What am I going to do? I need to go back to my friends. So the seed dies off. We come to the third, which is the thorns. And as you know, thorns choke out the seed, and they grow. And this is what happens. The cares of the world take over. I got this really cool promotion today. And you know what? This last payment I put in, and I can have that really, really fancy car. Really have this fancy car. I can't wait for Tuesday because everything's closed on Monday because it's a holiday. So can't wait. You go to church and you know what? This is what we're looking for to buy this orphanage, to pay it off. We just need this $700 and we've paid this orphanage for these kids. I got a $700 paycheck and that $700 is going to buy that beautiful car that I've always wanted since I was this high. I can give $50 and it won't kill. I can still buy my car. So we go to the world. We go and look at the things that we want and it chokes it out because fame, fortune, power, CDs, movies, cars, houses take over. Then we have the final soil, the good soil. And as we see in the good soil, it represents the gospel. Look at that bountiful supply. Look at that fruit. You see, as we saw in this apple seed, this one little seed planted in the right spot, as Annette said, if it takes root. She was very small in what she said because you look at this one seed and you think about the apple tree that you see up there and the apples that it produces. But how many of those apples have one little seed in them? Just one. And what does that one little seed produce? Another one of those. And what does that one little seed produce in one of those apples? Another one of those. You see, this is the gospel that goes out. It's planted and it takes root and it grows. You see, how do we hear? Do we hear with deaf ears and it's taken immediately? Do we hear with ears that are, maybe, oh, this is getting a little too uncomfortable. I can't do this anymore. Or do we hear with ears that are like come to the point that there's no other way? I don't understand it because I know who I am. I know what I've done. And this doesn't make sense, but this is true. That God would go to this length for me. There's no other choice but to walk in this. You see, we're listening. We hear the gospel, but how do we receive it? Now we're going to look in contrast to the parable of the seed growing in verses 26 to 29. And he said in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how the earth produces by itself. First the blade in the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You see, we take that first parable and we take responsibility for it. We take ownership for the outcome of that first parable. You see, we go back and this becomes our thought pattern. The path where the bird comes and it's immediately taken. Our thought pattern when we come and we scatter that seed, we come and we talk. I talk to Tim and it's not working. Maybe I didn't give enough good examples. Maybe I didn't give Tim enough hope that he would come. It's just not making sense. Tim, why do you not want to give in? He's stubborn. But it's my fault. Maybe I've not studied enough. So we take responsibility. The rocky ground. Maybe I didn't disciple them enough. Maybe I didn't make enough phone calls. Maybe I wasn't truthful enough to them. Maybe I gave them too much of the sweet side of it and not enough of the truth side where Jesus says that they hate me, they're going to hate you. Maybe I stayed away from that fearing that they wouldn't hear it at all. At least they heard me. What about the thorns? Maybe I showed too much of the world. Maybe I... bought this beautiful suit jacket. Maybe I should have just not. Maybe I talked too much about how great these comic books are and I can't wait for the next Avengers movie to come out and bought that ticket like 5 months in advance. Maybe I was showing too much of the world. And so they went the way of the world and they went back. Somehow this is my fault. And even the good seed, look. God used me. Wow. Yeah. I've witnessed to 5 people this week. What have you done? I got 3 of them. Check for me. Yeah. You see, this is our thought pattern when we read the parable of the sower, but here's the truth of the matter. What did it say in verse 27? This man scatters seed. He goes to sleep. And the seed grows. And what does it say? He knows not how. He has no idea how that apple tree went into the ground and overnight it sprang up and created that giant tree. I don't know how that happened. See, it goes back to the beginning. How many apples are in that apple seed? Only God knows. Only God knows when we scatter the seed. Only God knows who's going to come. Only God knows who's going to produce the fruit. You see, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10 says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen to it this way. God made us alive so that he might show his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But it's his workmanship that he prepared beforehand. You see, just like the sower goes and scatters the seed and doesn't know how it grows, we are to go and scatter the seed. What is our responsibility? Scatter the seed. That's all this man did. That's all the man did at the first parable. He just threw the seed out. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to just preach the gospel. Just preach it. Just speak it. And then what are we to do? Verse 29 says that when the harvest comes, he puts in the sickle and he brings in the harvest. Just as Peter and Andrew, they cast their nets out. They have no idea. Once those nets are in that water, their hands are off. Their hands are off. And all of a sudden, if you remember in the story where Jesus says, throw it on the other side, and they're like, this guy's crazy, but we're going to do it anyway. They threw it off and their hands were off. And then all of a sudden their boat did this number. And they're like, whoa, hold on, we're sinking. And they started to pull. They brought in the harvest. They started to pull. And as they pull, fish are in those nets. We are to pull. We are to see what's growing and we are to harvest. You see, we're to come alongside those that confess Christ. We're to walk in relationship with them. Kind of like what we talked about in Sunday school today. We just walk along with each other. The foundations that we should be talking about, the foundations that we should be leading in is scriptural. It's the Bible. Nothing else. Just the Bible. We come along and we stand on the Word together. And we bring in the harvest. You see Matthew 9, 35 and 38, and again in Luke 10, 1 and 2, Jesus says, he went out through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers. We are to go out and harvest. We are to go out and to spread the seed. That's all. If you remember on Sunday nights when we walked through the book of tactics, what did he say? Go out there and you hit them. Hit them with everything you got. You just slam that Bible down and you just point to each scripture and say, believe it. Throw it in their face because that's what they're going to do to you. Not what he said at all. He says, don't go at all. Don't try to defend it. Go. Take this small, dinky little pebble. Stick it in their shoe. And leave it alone. How many of you have walked on gravel in a flip-flop? And no matter how you turn your foot, that rock ain't going the right way. And it's so annoying. When we throw that seed out there, we've put a pebble in their shoe, and God's doing the rest, and they just can't get away from God. No matter how hard they try, no matter how hard they turn that foot, and there goes that seed, it's going to annoy my foot now. That's what we are to do. Not win a fight. Not try to convince you. We're just to present the gospel. And when the gospel produces fruit, we're to bring in the harvest. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And the one thing I'm not going to do, the one thing that I'm going to do is not let Satan it out. But I'm going to let it shine. That's what we're about. That's what Jesus is teaching about here. We are called to serve. And we serve by sharing the gospel, the hope, the good news. You have victory. You have victory. It's yours because the King won it. And He wants to give it to you freely. He's on His throne and He's calling you by name. Come home. It's done. It's finished. All I'm asking you to do is go tell the next person, it's finished. You don't have to live in condemnation. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live that way anymore. I've done it all to set you free. That's our job. That's what this parable is about. We have to be like Peter and Andrew and cast that net out, sow that seed, scatter it. And then be like James and John. And we have to be willing to sit and walk it out. Mend those nets. Put the sickle in and harvest. Walk side by side with our Christian brothers and sisters. Love on them. Encourage them. Guide them through the Word. You see, Walter, and I have no idea how to say his last name, Junior, he wrote some pretty cool stuff in this book called Ragman. And he gives a commencement speech, and this is how we encourage, this is how we let our light shine. He's talking about the city, the world out there. He says, earn your right to be heard in the city. This is not bequeathed upon you on your graduation, nor even your ordination. It comes of a very specific hour. It comes when you, to your own sacrifice, commit your ways to the people of the city. To serve. They shall believe that commitment only over a period of time. Stand with them in the courtroom, if that's where their lives take them. Sit with them in the hospitals, in the jails, in the streets, in their places of business, in their bitter and in their bright moments. It's a hard thing to do when you feel one and dumb and singularity lacking in the manifestation of faith. When you, I have no idea what I'm doing. But it shall earn you the right to speak when that Spirit gives you the power to speak. It's a hard thing to do, but it is eased and enabled by the promise. You'll have the promise to support you. Remember the promise on high. The promise on high gives you the ability. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to walk with you wherever your life takes you. I'm going to show you the light of Jesus. I'm going to show you the love of Jesus, that your life is not worthless. It's not meaningless. Your mistakes don't outweigh what God has done. You can't run far enough that He's going to say, fine. He will say, fine, if we're like the Pharisees who over and over and over again call Him evil. He'll say, fine. But He came in human flesh, as we sing, and died on a cross. When that executioner's number came up and it was Jeremy Jones, Jesus said, right here. Here I am. And He took the death that's mine freely. And He come and He says, here is the paper that says you are free. You are forgiven. It's yours. Now, I got to go get back in line because there's another number up. And He did that for us on that cross. So I encourage you today as we walk through this parable, don't worry about the outcome. Don't condemn yourself how they react. Just share the gospel. Just share the gospel and be ready to bring in the harvest. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You. We give You glory for who You are. Lord, thank You that we don't have to worry about outcomes. We don't have to worry, did we do good enough? All we have to do is share Your Word. You take care of the rest. Just as that man, he had no idea. He has no idea. We have no idea how the seed grows, how it becomes a ginormous plant. Or sometimes it doesn't. It just never grows at all. We don't know. We leave that up to You. Help us just to put the pebble in the shoe and let our light shine. Lord, let us listen and pay attention to Your Word. We give You glory. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time for it's invitation time. Time for me to put the pebble in your shoe. You know, I've been up here week after week after week after week, and And I haven't seen too many people come up here. But I know that maybe a few people heard it and were saved. Like Jeremy said, it's not my business. It's God's going to take care of it. We can't. If we don't see the results, we can't quit. We don't know. We just don't know what our words are, good words, our gospel words. We don't know the fruit it's going to bear. But we do know that God said what it'll bear. 30, 60, 100. Think like an ear of corn. How many seeds are on an ear of corn? Hundreds. So we need to let our gospel light shine and let God do the rest. So we're going to have a song of invitation this morning. If you need to know what God can do for you, quit running from him. You can't outrun him. He's too fast, I know. And it don't matter where you're at in your life. It don't matter how much sin's in your life. God don't care. He'll still chase you down because he loves you. He loves you the way you are. You don't have to be better than you are right now to come. God died for sinners. God shed his blood on a cross to redeem sinners. He didn't come to save righteous people. He came to save the lost. If you are lost, please, this time, come forward and accept Jesus as your Savior. Again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you for what we heard in your spoken word, Lord, and for our class this morning that Eric gave us, and for the discussions we had, and And we know, Lord, that we are all human. We are all sinners. We are all different. And it's good that even though we are kind of messed up and different, that we can all gather together and share each other's views and have a good time. Lord, you are, our church family is so important, Lord, and we thank you so much for it. And we thank you for all of our extended church family. We have many here this morning. We praise you for them too, Lord. We ask that you be with each and everybody this coming week and help us as we work or go about our ways, Lord. And we thank you for the blessings we received last week. Again, Lord, we ask that you be glorified in this church and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.